good evening, everybody. It's Tuesday, June 14th, 2022. It's 8:33 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time. This is the Fakeologist speaking. And this is the Fakeologist show. Wow, I almost made hit all the posts there in that song. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Almost like I'm a DJ or something. That is, in case you're wondering, the Alan Parsons Project. And that is called Sirius, Eye in the Sky. One of the most underrated, I guess it's a sessions, instrumental sessions band. They did sing some lyrics in their song, but they had a lot of instrumentals. But I actually think this is actually a song where they sing now that I think about it. And it says here, it is certainly clear here why Alan Parsons was given
like a rock star.
Yeah. It says Alan Parsons was given the hefty job of sound engineering on Pink Floyd's epic Dark Side of the Moon. So the best-selling album of all time was produced in part by Alan Parsons. Unbelievable. Do you remember that? Are you old enough to know Alan Parsons?
Yes.
Okay.
I know the music. Absolutely. I know the music. It's awesome. I feel like a rock star when you play it.
Yeah. Well, God, it's from the 80s. I don't think it's widely known. I actually forgot about it. And it's a funny thing. I think I explained this on a show in the past. And by the way, that's Tiago you're all listening to, guys. Regular listeners all know that's Tiago from the Facebook group, I Will Not Be Silent Anymore Canada, which you can see on the screen if you're watching the video stream on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, DLive, and of course the fantastic FakeoTube. And yeah, Tiago, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, you're almost going to be an extra regular guest. You're on tonight, and then we have the Thursday show roundtable, and then we're going to do something on Sunday.
Yes. Oh my God. I didn't even know. I totally forgot about the Thursday show. You had me concentrating on the Sunday show.
I know. It's, you're almost overexposed like me. I don't know. I might have to start paying you. I'll give you a cut of the non-existent donations. The donations have just dried up. Come on, guys. Let's start up another pandemic. This is bad for business that things are opening up here in Canada. Really bad for business.
I know. And then everyone starts forgetting and going back to regular life again.
I can tell you the traffic in Toronto is just as bad as it was at the beginning before this started. It's I was really spoiled with, oh my God, there was so many weeks where there was nobody on the road. It was unbelievable. And now we're back to 5:45 in the morning with all the expressways in Toronto clogging up.
Yeah.
Are they clogging up in Sydney, all the expressways at 5:45?
Oh, God. I don't even think we have the Trans-Canada Highway getting out of here, but that's about it. It's pretty dead.
Yeah, I was joking, actually. Your bike lane has now got 3 bikes on it at 6 in the morning, I'll bet.
Oh, not even. I don't think the people here are really into health.
Oh, no?
No, they got their own cancer center here, right?
So, and they're building another. That's unbelievable. Why do you guys get 2 cancer centers?
I mean, crazy. If you ever come here and take a visit here, you'll see why.
Well, I am kind of planning maybe a trip. No one in my household's all that enthusiastic, but one place I told you I did want to go see was Cape Breton Island, because we missed it on our East Coast swing because it was just too big of an area to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking at Cape Breton now. And now, of course, we're learning that Canadians that did not take the lethal injection can potentially fly.
Yes.
You heard about that, obviously.
Yeah.
So I'm
for now.
For now. I'm kind of thinking maybe I'd fly to Halifax and rent a car and then drive up and do a bit of a tour of Cape Breton. How long would that take to get from Halifax to stay where you are?
It's roughly a 5-hour drive.
Not funny, because I'm looking at the map. It doesn't look like 5 hours, so that's why I asked you. It's a long way.
Yeah, it's like windy roads, and then once you actually get on, you cross the bridge and you actually get onto Cape Breton Island, I think there's a maximum speed limit of 90 kilometers an hour on one of the roads, and then I think it's 70 kilometers an hour if you go by the other way. So it's, you know, slow, winding, and that's why it takes so long.
Well, if I did choose to do that, do you have any travel tips? Besides visiting you, of course, and staying at your place all week, which I'm sure you wouldn't mind. Well, is there anything else to do in Cape Breton?
You know what? If you're going to come, you got to come obviously in the summertime. Scenic, a lot of ocean views, beautiful nature here. It's actually a really beautiful island.
Yeah.
It's one of the nicer spots in Canada. The only other place that I think is almost as nice maybe would be probably British Columbia, but it is a gorgeous place. It is a beautiful place, no doubt about it. In terms of things to do, there's not much to do on the island unless you like, I think they have like whale watching, zip lining, you know, just the, you know, the basic tourist type things, but this is more, if you're going to come here, it's to see the scenery, to see the nature and beauty of Canada.
Yeah, well, that would be the only reason that I would come out there. It's just sort of a place we could not make it to because it was so far out of the way from, say, Halifax and coming across from Toronto. So we'd have to almost go straight there, do a lap or two, I guess one lap of the island, and then maybe we would zip over to Prince Edward Island, which I guess there's no ferry. You have to go all the way around.
I have no idea. I've actually never even been to PEI, but I've been to Newfoundland. I've worked there in Newfoundland, but it's all East Coast is pretty much all the same. You know, they're beautiful, nice places. If you like seafood, obviously East Coast of Canada is probably one of the best places in Canada, if not the best place in Canada for seafood, lobster, and all that kind of stuff. So I think you guys would like it here.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we've been already to the East Coast, but just not Cape Breton.
Cape Breton's different kind of beauty. It is beautiful. If it was the type of place where we had 25, 30 degree weather all year round here, I would never leave. It's that beautiful here.
Right. But it's cold and miserable in the winter like the rest of Canada.
Yeah. And I'm here right beside the Atlantic Ocean. So it's even, we get these big wind, a lot of wind over here. So
yeah,
it's shitty. Yeah.
Right. So besides, the purpose of tonight's show, in case anyone is wondering, so we're fakeologists, both of us. So we talk about anything and everything has a fakeologist filter through it. And obviously with Tiago, we like to talk money and finances, and Tiago is quite aware of the Great Reset. He can tell us from a financial point of view that they're using plague laws to reset the entire financial system, which is an awesome task. Do you think they'll be successful in resetting the world's financial system? Because you got to get everyone on board. You can't just do half the world.
Yeah, the answer to that is yes. They already have.
Oh.
It's all the train's in motion already. The train is not going to stop. The train is going to crash.
Oh, it's going to crash. Months. Great.
Yeah. The train's going to crash in 18, 24 months, and there's nothing that we can do about it. Nothing.
Well, do they have a new train to replace the train that crashes? That's the main thing.
They're probably going to. Obviously, they're doing all this, and you know, the new train that they have, things are going to look a lot different, a lot more controlled. There's going to be a lot more eyeballs on your financial transactions. So absolutely.
But how are they going to, are Russia and China opposed to the new financial system is the big question. Or all the BRICS? BRICS.
Yeah, China is almost there. I mean, I would say the majority, if not almost all their transactions in China are done electronically already.
Right.
You hardly see anybody dealing in actual cash in China. Russia and all these other places with major central banks, they're going to follow suit. They're going to follow suit. They're not going to have an option because, a lot of the trade that's going to be done, it's going to be done electronically. So, and when the whole thing crashes, you know, the whole point to all this COVID stuff, all the Ukraine war stuff, you know, there's a point to that. There's a big side point to that.
I think
people are missing the side point. The side point is when the whole system crashes, they have something to blame it on.
Yeah, of course.
They have something to blame it on. This is what this is for. We spend too many billions with, you know, dealing with COVID. We spend too many billions dealing with, you know, the Russians. So these are all convenient excuses that they're going to make up along the way when the system crashes, because they got to blame it on something. You know, they got to point the blame at somebody and something, and they will. Those are the two probably main things that they're going to blame it on. And most of the people who are not financially savvy are obviously, they're going to believe it, and they're going to say, we got to reset this new system. This is what it's going to look like. And that's why it's so important for them to have the major corporations of the world on board with this. It's not so much the countries, but the corporations, because the corporations are going to be front and center in going into this new digital currency age that we're going to be going into. Like, you know, places like Walmart, there's going to come a point where Walmart is going to say, we don't take no more cash. Everything's going to be digital. Sorry. And you're going to see a chain reaction of companies, the big and medium to big size companies, and they're just going to go forward with it. And there's nothing you're going to do. Nothing. Because to do business, you're going to have to do it electronically.
Okay. But is Russia, is China, are they opposed? Okay, I get the electronic part, but will they go along with central planning from wherever the central planners are going to live?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're totally going to go. They're going to go ahead with it. You know, the facade as fakeologists that you see from China and from Russia is just that, is a facade. These people are not, you know, the richest people on the planet. You know, when you're speaking of Medvedev or Putin or whoever you want to speak about, the central bank guys are in total control. They rule. They decide where all that money goes, and they decide where the system is going to go. And Russia and China are going to be part of that system. Absolutely, 100%. They're not going to stay. Russia is not going to stay in the 1990s. Or the 2000s in terms of currency transactions, they're going to follow suit, because Vladimir Putin, again, he is not the one-stop shop in Russia. It's the central bank guys that tell him what to do.
Right. I know they have a private central bank in Russia, so it's part of the Rothschild or whoever is in charge. So it's all part of it.
It's all part of it, and this is all strategic. So what you see here on a world stage, the feelings that you are getting from Russia and China not being part of the so-called, you know, quote-unquote narrative that they're against this whole thing, to me, it's just actors playing in a movie. Yeah. They're making it look that it's nothing, you know, nothing more simply than that. They're just actors in a movie. They're playing their part on a world stage. They will all fall into it, and they will dupe all the masses when the crash happens. And they will all, everybody, the whole world's going to follow suit. They didn't shut down the world and do this whole COVID and Ukraine stuff, and all this stuff is not for nothing. It is for a reason. Everything they're doing is for a reason. So just think of it in terms of, you are a narcissistic psychopath, malignant narcissist, bad guy. Yeah. Why would you be doing this stuff? Why would you be doing COVID? Why would you be doing a Ukraine war? Because they understand that when this crashes, it's going to be one of the most fantastical crashes in human history. And they have to blame it on something in order to usher in that new age. And yes, Russia and China definitely will be part of it. 1,000,000%. It's much better for Russia and China to do it anyways, to be part of that system, because they will usher in even more control in those countries with a digital system. Absolutely.
Well, China already has some pretty extreme controls on its people with the facial recognition. They're tracking people. I've seen it in action. It seems to be real, but Every now and then, yeah. Matt Arrett, who I really like, a Canadian from Montreal, who one day might come on my show. He goes on everyone else's show. So he's on like literally every show I've never heard of. But he always holds out hope that the China and Russia, they've been resisting the fifth columns in their own country. So they appear to be against the whole global homo agenda that's everywhere in the West. But you're saying no. They're part of the...
No, absolutely not. And the reason why I know this is, just look at it this way, if yourself and everybody listening, any country that has a so-called quote-unquote currency, you are owned, period. That's the bottom line. If you have a currency, you're owned. You're owned, especially, I should attach an asterisk to that, especially if you got a central bank in your country. If you have a central bank in your country, 1,010%, absolutely.
Doesn't every country have a central bank? It's just a question of is it a European central bank?
Yes, that's my point. They're all sister central banks, essentially, right? So basically, they're a conglomerate of a let's call it a handful of families, whoever these people are, that control the whole system through the central banks. Now, whether it's the New York Fed, the Canadian Central Bank, or the International Monetary Fund, or the World Bank, you take your pick, you name it, those banks are controlled by somebody, right? So it's anybody with a currency or a central bank in their country, they're part of what is happening, what you are seeing here today. So what you are seeing is nothing more than a Tom Cruise movie. It's the same thing, just actors. They're just acting and making it look good. And this guy's the good guy, that guy's the bad guy. They love doing that, right? Ukraine good, Russia bad, you know. And it's just, to me, looking at it from a financial perspective, when I look at my charts and I see what's going on in the world, I can clearly see what's going on, what they're doing with currencies and all this kind of stuff, with Bitcoin. I know exactly what they're going to do with Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah,
I
please know tell me.
Yeah, I know. Like, this to me is the most...
Banking,
isn't it? Do you understand how much money I'm going to make just off Bitcoin?
Don't make me jealous.
I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell the viewers.
How are you going to do it?
What they're going to do with Bitcoin. I'm going to tell the viewers what they're going to do with the interest rates. We've seen a couple of articles now here. I don't know worldwide, but in the Canadian news, we've seen a couple of articles saying that payments for their mortgages are in the next 2 to 3 years are going to be going up 50%. We have discussed this here on Fakeologist before. I have told everybody this months ago, correct? Months ago with these variable rate mortgages. This is not to the Fakeologist crowd listening to this, to all the viewers around the world listening to this. This is nothing new. We've discussed this already, and only now that they're bringing it out into the mainstream media, right? I told everyone at $58 a barrel right here on this show that we're going to 200. We're at currently almost $120 a barrel, and we're still going to be going up to 200, by the way. It's not going to go any lower. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to have pullbacks and whatnot along the way, but the Bitcoin thing makes me laugh. I'm looking at my charts here. I put the AI on there on my cyclic indicator, and this is going to be the easiest trade of my life. Put it that way. The new Bitcoin trade that we're going to be doing here in the next month or so. It's going to be the easiest trade ever. So Bitcoin right now is at 21,000 and
change. It's 22,018.
Yeah, it's 22,000 and change. So I'm going to tell everyone what is going to happen. I want everybody to record this.
Okay.
That way in 6 months time, you guys can come back and say, was this guy right? Does he know what he's talking about? I'm going to tell you guys right now, Bitcoin is going to go to 10,000, 9,800 to 10,000 in that range somewhere right there. That was where
that is a tight range you just announced. How did you get so narrow?
Because I can see where the price action is. I can see where the market orders are right on my screens here. So the price action is going to come right down to 9,800 approximately, right in that range. We are going to wait for the pullback at 9,800, and then Bitcoin from that point on is going to go to the moon.
What? It's going to the moon?
Oh, it's going to go over 100,000, easy.
Why? So they're going to manipulate it down so they can bobble it up.
Yes.
And then why will it go to the moon? Who's going to get behind it?
There's major market orders at 9,800 right now. Major.
Oh, I see. Price. So you just see buy orders sitting there.
Yes.
Do they have expiries, or do they just keep resubmitting these buy orders? They have
no. They're just there. They're sitting there. They're sitting there. Sit there. The only time, yeah, the only time that they're executed.
Oh, it just went down. It just went down 21,000. Yeah. Are they listening to the show?
they might be. So what's going to happen is it's going to come down. There's major market orders at 9,800. So okay. In around that range, everybody listening, listen to what I'm telling you. If you want, I'm going to probably put 10 contracts on this. As soon as it comes down to 9,800, we're going to wait. We're going to be patient. Going to be patient like a professional trader. As soon as it gets down to that 9,800 range, 10,000 range, you're going to start making buy orders. And then from that point on, it's going to go to the moon, because those major buy orders, it's not going to go any less than that.
Right.
Okay. So we're going to wait. We have to be patient. So from right now at whatever it is, 22,000, it will come down to 9,800 bucks.
Like what market, where does Bitcoin trade? It's not on a currency exchange, is it? So where do you see these trades?
You can go to DarwinX has it. My trading platform has it. I don't know what.
No, but where's the market trading? Because when I go to buy Bitcoin, you go through an exchange and on an onboard company, an on ramp. So they're they're the exchange. They'll exchange regular fiat for Bitcoin. So where do they go? Where is the market? Is it just some online exchange?
Yeah, you got to go through a broker platform that has what's called Bitcoin/USD.
Right.
So I'm trading. It's basic. It's almost, you just look at it like another Forex pair.
Right.
You got US Canadian, US Swiss franc. I'm trading Bitcoin, and I hardly ever trade Bitcoin. I'm just telling you guys this because this is too good. I'm seeing like a home run, like in
baseball. You don't see this normally with your currency twins, or what do you call them? Twins or currency?
Or currency pairs, yeah.
Pairs. You don't normally see this kind of action on a pair.
Oh yeah, I see them. I see them on daily. I see it on pairs, but on Bitcoin, these orders are looking particularly huge to me at 9,800. So I'm thinking, okay, so we got some hedge funds, possibly a couple of banks in there. So this is, to me, my mouth is watering. When I started looking at these orders, I got an email from another trader guy, and this trader guy, one of the best in the whole world, I would say. And what he's doing is he sent me an email. He's saying, look at this, look at all these market orders down there. So I went on my platform, started looking at them. I was like, woo, I'm salivating, you know, like a tiger, looking at its prey, you know, and I know it's going to be easy prey. This is going to be simple because these
market orders. I just went down 21,888 now. Obviously this show is moving the market right now. You hear it. Everyone here. So what? So what are we? About 21,871. Like an auction. So obviously,
so we're gonna go down.
Your email, your friend's email. It's obviously flying around the world at 1,000 miles an hour. How do you take advantage of that?
Well, you gotta wait. You gotta be patient. We're gonna be patient. I'm not gonna get into the market. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna put market orders there at 9,800. Right in the middle of all those orders, those major orders that are sitting there. So I'm going to put my orders there now, sitting there, waiting there.
Okay.
So that way, when I'm asleep at night, and if the price hits 98, when the price hits 9,800, even if I'm sleeping, those market orders are going to execute, right?
Right. Okay.
And they're going to make me have some nice, big, giant, juicy market orders going long, right? So
with somebody without an account like yours, we just have to wake up one day and see it in that range and put an order in through a normal broker, I guess. Is that how we have
absolutely.
To do
it? Yeah, absolutely. Go purchase some Bitcoin. Go take five. When you see it go down to that range, I'm telling you guys now, if you got like a grand or a few grand or 5 grand, whatever you got.
Yeah.
Go
put it all
at
in.
At that point, 9,800, 10 grand, go put it. Because from that point on, I'm looking at like major orders here. Right now, I'm looking at roughly about $7 billion in orders just waiting, orders just waiting to be executed at that range. So as soon as they execute at that range, it's going to go to the moon. It's
by the
go
way,
way
did you see
5,000?
Did you see sell orders at say 60 grand back when it peaked? Did you see a lot of sell or?
I seen medium sized sell orders. Yeah, coming all the way down.
Okay.
And I see a huge, and I see a really big sell order at 17,000.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if it hits 17,000, once it hits 17,000, it's going to drop a lot really quickly, most likely, because there's a huge order there.
So that's a downdraft. When it hits 17,000, that's a downdraft.
That's a downdraft. Okay. Yeah, my daughter was here today and I was showing her. She was asking me what I was so happy about. And I was telling her, look here, look at this. These are all the market orders.
By the way, how was the movie?
That was great. Yeah, it was awesome.
What was it?
Yeah, it was awesome. The Tom Cruise Top Gun.
Do you recommend it?
If you're a Top Gun fan, yeah, because I always liked Top Gun, the original movie. So it was pretty good. It wasn't bad. I liked the effects. And
how is Tom Cruise? Kind of, well, how does he look the same? Because it's been what, 33 years or something?
Imagine. Oh, he doesn't look the same. You could tell he's aged. He has, you know, a few wrinkles. His face his skin is droopy a little bit. But you know, that's age. He's like, I don't know how old he is, but whatever age he is.
He looks a lot better than Kelly, what's her name?
Oh, Kelly McGinnis. Whatever, she looks like a disaster, but yeah.
Bad, isn't it?
Yeah, but nothing. Yeah, it's well, the last picture I seen of her, I don't know today right now what she looks like, but that's the Bitcoin thing. So I'm giving you guys like the most inside huge market orders that you can that I can see here, and I'm waiting. I put market or execution orders on for 9,800. That's my price. And as soon as it hits 9,800, I know this thing is going to go to the moon. So anybody holding Bitcoin or buying Bitcoin now at 21,000 and change, you're stupid. You're going to get ripped off and you're going to lose quite a bit of money. So,
well, I bought it a lot more than 20 grand. I just played around with it. I don't have any large positions, but I just bought a bit just to say I did back up maybe a year ago. So I got it way up in the 30s, I think. So I guess the point is just hold on now. No point in unloading it now. Relax.
Yeah, Dirty Benny's asking, can you just buy Bitcoin through a financial advisor or do you have to buy it personally through a wallet? Dirty Benny, I would just do it through a wallet. Just hang tight. Be patient.
Well, you have you need someone to buy it through. You need an exchange. So, for instance, there's lots of places that can on-ramp you, but they're all... KYC, know your customer. So you have to register an account with them and they're going to ask you to take a video of your face pretty much. And, or you could just, pump cash through one of those Bitcoin bank machines. I don't know if they give you a very good exchange rate, but that you could do it anonymously. I still think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much of a position you could buy through a bank machine though, or some of those Bitcoin machines.
Yeah, I would definitely do it through my wallet. And, I do it through my, my trading platform here, DarwinX out of,
But you have a professional outfit for the average guy.
Yeah.
You get a wallet and then you have to go, exchange your dollars for Bitcoin and send it to your wallet. That's how it works. Or if you want to buy an exchange base, company that has your wallet and does the exchange and they hold the wallet, you can do that too. But most people don't necessarily recommend that. But I just read Coinbase laid off 1,100, nice number of people today.
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of hilarious. The email went out saying, if you're getting an email, you'll get an email today letting you know whether you're going to be with the company or not. And then he said, by the way, if you get an email, the only problem is only the people that are being fired will get an email saying you're cut off from the email system. So it's kind of funny. He says, we have to cut you off immediately from the email system. So I'm not sure how they're going to get the email because he says there's too much company information. We don't want you to take it with you. So it's kind of a
unreal,
hilarious situation. And this is a guy that allegedly bought a new big house in L.A. for... Guess what? $133 million. So I don't know how they always line up these 33s with everything they do, but they're always messaging us. So,
wow, 33. That's, I know if that's true, if you did buy an LA house, he's an idiot for $133 million.
Well, that's what it said.
The market crashed.
Yeah, that's what it said. Well, I guess if you have so much money, who cares? You don't care. By the way, if anyone wants to call in and ask any questions of Tiago, the numbers are on the screen, 810-666-1984. 902-400-1984 and press 1. Press 1 if you want to get through to the show. Press 2 if you want to go on the audio chat, which we're not on now, or press 3 if you want to leave a message. You can leave a message, and I will get an email saying you did leave a message, and I will play it. I can do that. So, otherwise, just listen to us babble on and talk about
Absolutely.
So that's,
absolutely.
That information is worth the price of the show. We could actually stop the show right now. We've given enough value right there.
Right there, and just quiet. Just keep it quiet from now on. But you guys, I want this recorded. I want this
recorded.
And
you're everywhere.
I want this recorded so everyone can see that what I'm saying is absolutely 1,000% correct. And I can see these huge orders right in front of me.
Yeah.
And
right.
they will get filled. Once those orders get filled, whoever those orders belong to, those billions of dollars in orders, they're going to make a ton of money. I can tell you that. So am I. I'm going to piggyback on the wave going up. But right now we got to be patient. So it might take a couple of months to come down to the $9,800 range, 10,000 range. But as soon as it gets into that squeezing type range there, it's going to be showtime. Get ready.
Well, here's your crypto expert on Yahoo Finance, Bitboy crypto founder, mm-hmm. Ben says 14,000 is the bottom. Another guy, here's another fake story. Probably 91% of crypto users plan to buy more over the next 6 months. Probably another BS story. After $1 billion in liquidation on crypto's Black Monday. Was that today? Is today Black Monday? I guess so. Selling wanes. Okay, so it's a sell-off. I don't really pay attention on the day-to-day, but you do. But today was his big sell-off day, apparently.
Yeah, some of them are not.
Well, it says Bitcoin. Work. Yeah, crypto.
Bitcoin was a little
crypto.
Yeah, Dirty Benny's asking, I still don't understand you having a standing order without a financial advisor. I trade independently. I'm a professional trader
Don't try this at home. What Tiago's talking about, he's a professional. We don't have access to his screens, his accounts. We're retail. He's wholesale. He's in the market. This is what he does. So for the average retail person, you got to go get an account with an exchange.
Yeah.
You got to give them your money up front, your US dollars, and they have to know who you are because they have to report everything you do to the IRS. Yeah. And then you can put an order in to buy Bitcoin at whatever you want. And then they'll either have the wallet there or you can go get your own wallet online easily and hook it up to a hardware device, so that way you cannot sell or transfer your Bitcoin out of your hardware wallet unless you press some buttons on a physical device hooked up to your computer. That's what makes it hardware, so you can't accidentally send money without physically touching a USB stick to release it. And I actually got to check mine out because I haven't done it in a year. I forget everything because I just don't do it. So I got to make sure I still know how to do all that.
Yeah, Dirty Benny, when you want to trade, let's say, for example, you wanted to trade Bitcoin versus US dollar or any other kind of Forex currency pair, you can go trade, let's say you can go open an account at, let's say, DarwinX in the United Kingdom. They're a professional trading platform, and they have three different types of accounts. They have a retail account, which is the one you guys would be applying for. They have a professional account, the one that I have. And then the third account is like a hedge fund account, right? For major banks and hedge funds. And the difference between all three of them is the amount of money that they charge you on the spreads. So I get a better spread than the retail trader. And then the hedge funds and banks get a better spread or rebates. We have rebates in Forex. They give them better rebates than me. So that's how that works. But anybody can open it. You can go open up as a retail trader. Like Tim said, they're going to ask for your ID and your passport and driver's license.
I don't think you can buy it through a major stock brokerage firm. That's not how it works as far as I know. You have to, there are crypto exchanges. One of them's Coinbase. It's one of the biggest. They just laid off 18% of their staff today, 1/8. That's Chi, I think, in the old Kabbalah Jewish sort of numerology system. So 18% are 1,100 people. Anyway, so that's an exchange. So they will take your cash and they will exchange your cash for crypto. But I don't. So those are the kind of places. Coinbase is one of the biggest. You can just easily look it up. In Canada, we have a few that I've never heard of before, but they're small little places that do the exchange.
Yeah,
you could technically do an exchange with anyone in the world that has Bitcoin. It could be your friend might sell you a fraction for cash.
That's right. Yeah, and you can do that. You can do it on Coinbase. You can buy units of Bitcoin, but just prepare. Give it about, I'd say about, give it the next month to 2 months. Right. We're going to probably in that range somewhere. We're going to see it come down at 10,000, 9,800. 9,800 is the magic number I'm looking at, because I see right now in front of me a $7.8 billion order just sitting there waiting to be executed at 9,803. Right. So as soon as it hits that and executes that on the bank side, then I will obviously get in as well, and I will piggyback all the way up. So my estimation, I'm looking at the charts here now. It's probably going to go from, once it hits 9,800, it will then skyrocket to roughly 125,000.
Why do you figure 125? What's your evidence for that?
I have my cyclic indicators.
Okay. And that's your AI.
And they're telling me roughly 125,000 from the 10,000 point, but I will have, once it hits 10,000, then I will dial it down even better. I will dial down the exact numbers for you guys of where this is going to go to. But for right now, all you guys have to do is just keep in mind 10,000, 9,800 to 10,000.
Yeah. You can't predict the future, but after 125, then what? Is it going to stay up or?
That I don't know. I have to wait closer to that time. So my AI, my artificial intelligence cyclic indicator can tell me a little bit better of a story, and I can look at other indicators and see what's going on. So right now I know the sky tomorrow when I wake up in the morning is going to be blue. I know that this is going to go down to 9,800. So. Okay.
Well, that's interesting. That's just one trade, and this is not financial advice. We're just having fun here. Do not sell your house and then come after Tiago and me, because we will admit to absolutely nothing. It's not investment advice. If you want investment advice, go call a professional. This is don't try this at home. We're just having some fun here. And this is the Fakeologist show, where, of course, everything is fake. So even Diego's probably fake and just throwing out numbers. No, I'm just kidding.
You never know.
Yeah. Well, if I do drive out to Cape Breton, I'll look you up and make sure you're real, and I'll report back to the listenership.
Anytime. Absolutely. Come out. You're welcome anytime. Absolutely. But that's where we're going to be headed. For the oil, I know some people want two more covers. They want the oil and they want to know about the interest rate. So the oil. I got the oil charts right in front of me right now. So XTI, which is roughly West Texas Intermediate against the U.S. dollar right now, is 116.38. We're still going up. Oil is still going to go up to 200. And it's going to take, it's going to take a little time to get there, but we're going to get there. Oil's not going to get any better. It's not going to go down to 60 or 70 or 80.
Now they're manipulating oil for the, is it for the express purpose to really push everyone into this ridiculous green economy? Is that it? Because there's lots of oil in the world, and it's got to be so tempting for the people that do have oil, the countries, to sell at this price, because they can make a fortune. So they're just, it must be killing them. And this is why prices in a real market balance out, because people get greedy. They see market oil high. So when you're a country with oil, you want to sell into that market so you have some cash to do what you want to do for your people.
So, or not your people, but yourself instead.
Yourself
and your family. Yeah. And
so
your friends
how
and your
can
buddies.
It stay, that's the whole argument for why. How can it stay high without the big boys just manipulating it and holding it high by holding on to their supply and not selling into the increase? That's my question.
They're making money all around, right? Once at this type of price, right? So The question is, once it hits 200, how long is it going to stay there?
Because all these guys want to make money. They're not in it just to watch the price go up. What use is a high price if they can't sell at that price? Like, obviously, if someone offers me $100 million for my house, I'm moving.
Yeah.
Right? So same with oil, same with any commodity. That's why that's what brings prices into, that's what makes a market. There's always a price for a sale. There's always a price for a buy.
Yes, yes. But they're going to manipulate the price as high as they can. It'll hit 200.
Right. And then what is the purpose of that? Is it just to make money, or they actually really want to get people off oil and into green?
They want you guys, poor. They want you guys off this oil shit. Yeah, absolutely.
No, but do they want us driving electric cars, or is that just a sideshow? That's not the real reason.
I think they're going to go ahead with that whole narrative of, you know, electric cars and all this kind of stuff. But I do think they're, eventually in the upcoming decades, that is going to definitely happen. But probably by the time I'm 70 or 80 years old, if I make it that long. But in the short term, I worry about what's happening now. What is the probability of this thing going to 200?
Right.
So based on the charts that I'm looking at, it's absolutely going at 200, maybe even higher than that. The question is that everybody has. Is it going to maintain 200? Is it going to stay there, and then we're going to bottom out? That I don't know until we get close to that. That way I can look at and see, and you know, then I can gauge and look at my indicators and all this kind of stuff and make a more intelligent, give you guys a much more intelligent answer. But right now, we are going to the moon. Interest rates are not going up fast enough. Hyperinflation is still a real thing. And these commodities are going to, some of these commodities are still going to march on forward up. And that includes oil.
Okay.
Yeah. And so you guys want to hear about gold and silver?
Get us. We want to hear about everything. I mean, there's
gold and silver. Gold and silver is going to follow the same path as Bitcoin. So initially in the short term, you're going to see the prices come down in gold and silver.
Okay.
And then once shit hits the fan, you are going to see these commodities blast upwards and onwards. So
well, silver, we've heard silver for 50 years. It never gets above the 20s. It just doesn't ever seem to move up. But you say this time
silver
will
be moving. Yeah, silver will be moving. It's not going to stay static for much longer. And like I said, gold and silver will follow the same trajectory as Bitcoin, maybe not to the same extent percentage wise, but you're still gonna see. I predict, let's say for example, Bitcoin goes to 120,000 after it hits the 10,000 mark, then that means I would predict that gold, in the 4,000 to 5,000 range, and silver probably in the $80 to $100 range. And that will happen. It's going to happen. I'm telling you guys, I could see the cyclic and market orders here on my charts. The question is, it's just a matter of when. That's all.
And what's gold going to happen?
Gold will probably, once you see Bitcoin taking off and you see a lot of money moving from the debt markets and this whole thing start, unraveling and collapsing, you're probably going to get a steady price of gold. It'll probably steady up at 4,000 to 5,000 per ounce. Maybe even a little higher. Yeah. But it's going to get there. And silver might be percentage points more than gold because there's more uses for silver, obviously, with, bulletproof vests and, artillery and all that kind of stuff. So.
Okay.
So the future, so stupid is saying, so the future looks good is what you're saying. It looks good for you guys because you guys know exactly what to expect. So when you hear people in the media talking about that you should buy Bitcoin at 15,000, you're going to tell them go pound sand because you know it's not going to stop at 15,000. You know it's going to come down to, roughly 9,800. So you guys already, I'm giving you guys the major targets, and these are the targets they're for real targets. They're not like I'm just pulling this out of my
You're app. Pulling it off your screen. You see these the are, real, yeah, you see the actual the, orders just waiting.
Yeah, these orders, the majority of the public don't see these orders.
How are you going to get with the big boys are going to get filled at 9,800. They might blow it up so high that you won't even get a chance to get it on the way. It might just, there might not be any, and too many trades at that price, you might, it might just blow right back up to 20 grand in a day, and then you might not catch the wave.
Yeah, I mean, you could have pretty, yeah, but I have pending orders there. So, no,
but I'm
there.
Talking That's about my, us.
Yeah, you guys keep a watch. I will alert you when that happens.
Will you send a text alert to all preferred members of Fakeologist?
That would be cool. I can give you a warning. I can email you or send you a message on Facebook, and then you can just post it on the forum of Fakeologist, right?
You can let me know, and I'll let all the preferred shareholders of Fakeologist know.
Yeah, just to give them a heads up, saying here's what's happening. And Gabriel, right now, he's asking maybe should start buying around 10 to 12K. So Gabriel, you have to understand the market dynamics. So if you have major orders, let's say Deutsche Bank is the one that owns that $7.8 billion order down there at 9,800. That order is going to get filled. Yeah. That order, you have to think of that order like a magnet. That price is going to come to that like a magnet. Right. So don't start buying at like 12,000. Be patient. It's going to come down, right? So just be patient. Be like a professional trader. You know, hang tight. And the price is like a magnet. It's going to come right to those major orders because the big boys want that filled, and it will get filled because that order is so huge. Right. Okay, but then once it gets filled. Like I said,
it's going to light the market on fire, and then there might not be any fills anywhere near that low price for anyone else.
I will give all the Fakeologists. I'm constantly watching these charts 18 hours a day. So you guys will have a heads up. It's not going to be.
Can we put an order with the Bank of Tiago at 9,800? Will you fill our orders?
I wish I was a broker.
Jeez, will you fill our my 0.0001 fraction of a Bitcoin. I'll be buying 0.0001 Bitcoins.
Okay, even if you guys put $100, put $100, if you know what I mean, for fun, just for shits and giggles, and see what
you can't get sued for $100.
Yeah, just for $100, that's it, right? Yeah. Or $10 or $50 or whatever, you know, just for shits and giggles, and we'll see. You know, we'll see if I was right. Well, and then what, at the end of this, what we're going to do is I'm going to send Tim a chart, Bitcoin to USD chart, and we will actually, on the real chart, we will look at where the actual low was, and we'll see how good my prediction was.
Yeah, we will. Well, yeah. You're a regular, you make regular appearances. So if you don't show up on the show again, we'll know you're wrong. Because we won't have you back. we'll have to replace you with someone who knows what they're talking about.
The majority of the planet doesn't see these orders. These orders are seen by hedge funds, by Deutsche Bank, by all these banks, right?
Yeah.
So this is like super undercover stuff that, pretty cool stuff that I'm telling you guys here. Not everybody knows this. But, and the bank rates the people with variable rate mortgages. We've been talking about this for so long. Your mortgages are going to go up as soon as those interest rates.
Well, it can't go down. It can't go any further down. It's around 1%. So there's only one. There's only one direction, and that's negative interest rates. But even if they were, it really only hurts the people that are borrowing way out of their league. So, for instance, if they say interest rates are going to go up 30%, so if you're paying 2% now, 30% is only 2.6%. So again, if you have $1 million mortgage, if you're borrowing $1 million, okay, you're going to feel the pain. But if you only have a small mortgage, then it's hardly going to make any difference to you. Don't forget, I'm old enough to remember 20% interest rates. I didn't have a mortgage. I had a Canada Savings Bond though. And it was kind of fun to get 20% on my $2,000 or $3,000 bond. That was pretty cool.
we have to put this into context in terms of the real estate market. So if I were to ask you guys in the last year and a half to 2 years, okay, very easy. Everyone can remember this. The real estate market has pretty much been primarily a speculator's market, one buying after another. And these are not homes to keep. they were just buying these investors are just buying these homes one after another because the prices are keeping on going up. They're going straight up. Okay. So we have a speculator's market, and that is the worst disaster recipe, like in 2008 and 2009, when the whole financial, or not the whole financial, but a lot of the real estate collapsed in the United States, because of these variable rates. Because these people, like Tim said, they were way in over their heads.
They were giving mortgages to people that had no business borrowing money, period. And then they sold those risky mortgages as secured, as they packaged them up and sold shares in that. So that was a risk. And then they sold insurance on that, on those speculative those mortgage derivative bundles. And then they sold their options on the insurance. And there was trade upon trade. It was all based on lending money to people that should not have been given any credit whatsoever.
And you want to know what the secret is? You guys want to all hear a secret?
Yeah.
Everything that Tim just mentioned, those derivatives and those wrapped up mortgages that they were selling, guess what?
The government ended up paying for them.
Yeah. But guess what? They still all exist. It's all still being done to this day.
Right. So there's still, so there were no extra regulations put in.
No.
Those kind of shaky things are still happening. So they just built a new house of cards.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
Right. So it's probably just a fraud because the government ends up moving in and bailing a lot of the banks out, and all the guys that made all those speculations, they got paid by your tax money or your children's future tax money. So they're just exercises in robbing the treasury.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a way to derive money from the treasury, making it look good, right? Quote unquote. And they can do what they want with that money now. Yeah. The only difference between now and 2008, when that whole system collapsed, is this bubble here is 100 times bigger than 2008. So what is the smart thing to do in terms of real estate transactions? The best thing to do is wait, be patient, like a professional investor. Wait till the whole thing comes crashing down in roughly 24 months, 18 months, whatever it's going to be, in and around that time. And then you go up and scoop up real estate at pennies on the dollar, because the same thing is going to happen, especially in commercial real estate, because the occupancy rates are at, 41% now in Canada and the United States, because people are not going back to the office to work. They're staying home to work. Right. And a lot of people are not working. So the commercial real estate is probably going to lead the way in the economic collapse coming in the next couple of years. Absolutely. It'll come from the
commercial. Well, they say a lot of those office towers are going to switch to condos, at least in Toronto. So you get 70.
Yeah, but before that happens, a transfer of ownership has to happen.
Yeah.
Because the current owner right now, he's still paying the mortgage. He's still paying the taxes on that office tower.
Right.
So he's not going to be able much longer to be making these payments on there.
Right.
Okay. So
he could switch it to a condo, couldn't he? Well, he'd need more switch money.
He's going to have to. Yeah. He's going to require paperwork and politicians
and a ton of money to do it too. You can't just switch an office tower over to residential. It's not easy.
And a lot of them are. And to be quite frank with you, a lot of them are so heavily mortgaged, they can't afford to do that to multiple buildings.
No, no.
Right? They can't afford. They're simply not liquid enough to do that. And what's going to happen? What you're going to see is you're going to see a ton of commercial real estate coming onto the market at bargain basement prices when the whole thing crashes. And there's not going to be any takers because the interest rates by then will be too much where no one's going to want to get a multi-million dollar mortgage anymore.
Well, we'll all be tied up in Bitcoin too. Unless we can buy.
Well, you're going to have guys, you're going to have guys like myself. I'm waiting. I'm being patient. I'm doing the professional thing. Yeah. And when the whole thing crashes, I just come in with cash. And $1 million, let's say, for example, a $1 million building today, an apartment building of 8 units that cost $1 million. Well, that's not going to be $1 million in a couple of years. It's probably going to go down to 250, 200,000 when the whole thing crashes. And I'm just going to come in with all cash deal and pay for it all cash. And there you go. And that's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. We're just experiencing some severe market manipulation in the name of COVID. And really just the rich people are the ones. The people at the bottom don't have any extra cash to play these games, let's be honest. So The guys at the top.
Yeah, the little guy, you know, the little guy can do that to a family home. Let's say he wants homes here where I live, an average home here in Cape Breton. You know, it's 120,000, 140,000. Yeah, it's cheap. It's still cheap, but I'm throwing out their figures. If there's a guy renting, paying $1,000 a month in rent,
yeah,
he can wait for the crash, the smart thing. And then he can go in and purchase the prop, save his money and go in and purchase the property.
Right.
And do that and save himself a lot of money. Or he can be smart and do the Bitcoin play, the major Bitcoin play coming up, and being patient. Again, this is all patience. We know what's going to happen. Let the market come to you. Don't chase the market. Like most of these people, they're the ones chasing the market and putting money into the market when they have no business of doing so, nor do they have a reason. When you get into a market, you really have to have a good reason why you're getting in, right? So when people say, well, I'm buying Bitcoin at 15 or 18,000, when it comes down to 18 or 15,000, ask them why. Why are you doing that? What's the reason why you're doing that? And if they don't give you a good enough reason, most likely they're going to lose money. So, you know, be smart, be intelligent, trade like a professional, be patient. You guys all know what's coming. We've talked about this for the last, I don't know how long I've been here on Tim's show, 12 months or
yeah,
months or whatever it is.
I can't even remember where we, you came to the show. Do you remember? Because I don't.
It's been probably at least a year. And Gabriel here is saying the company I work is vacating one of our campuses in Texas. So many people are working from home. They don't need the other buildings. I refuse the shot, so locked out of all buildings anyway. Yeah, Gabriel's 100% right. Gabriel, the same thing's going on here in my area. All these buildings here are empty. Yeah, they're empty. Yeah, they're empty. A lot of these office buildings here, or mini office buildings here in downtown Sydney, are empty. Yeah,
nobody, but do you remember how you came to the Fakeology
show? Yeah, I did a Kevin J. Johnson show one time, and then you.
I contacted you. Yeah. Isn't it strange how that show just stopped?
Yeah, but it, of course it's going to stop when you keep getting arrested for nonsense.
No, I know, but Ed and the other guys were running the show, and they just. All of a sudden, he just walked away. Do you think they were? I thought they were hitting some pretty good truths there.
They were doing pretty good. I don't know why they stopped financially. I heard they didn't have much money financially, type of thing. But there could be other reasons too.
Yeah, it was very bizarre. Are you? Yeah, obviously you're a Canadian. So are you following the other Canadian freedom fighter guys, Pat King, and are you following any of that, Chris Sky?
When I have time, I do. I just been working on a new project here, trying to get a new artificial intelligence. The programming language that I do it in is called PyTorch.
Right.
And I'm trying to get the AI machine, deep learning machine, to communicate with the trading platform, which is not AI. It's called MetaQuotes Language 4.
Right.
So I'm trying to build a graphical user interface to communicate. So that's been taking up a lot of my time here. But, I follow them when I have a little bit of time. Some of the things I agree with them, like, for example, you had that gentleman on here a few days ago, the Grizzly Patriot. Is that correct? Yeah, I agree with some things he says, some things I don't agree with, that he was talking. He seems like a great guy, great person to have on.
Yeah.
He strikes me as more as having a lot of political hope.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm totally the opposite when it comes to that. I got no hope in the politics here in Canada, but they're all run, but basically by the same corporation. So it really doesn't matter.
It's funny. Well, you're busy building AI so you can make millions of dollars. I was busy putting in little icons on the Fakeologist forums. So it took me 2 hours. I have a funny feeling what you're doing is way more productive than what I do. But if you like what I've done, I created some little icons. It did take me a long time to figure out what program to use and make it all happen. But for all you guys that like the forums, you got some nice little graphics now that help you understand what each forum is all about. So.
No, it's great. I mean, I do it. And to be honest with you guys, and most of the, it's not necessarily for money. To me, I love doing it for the challenge.
Yeah, of course.
I like challenging myself and seeing if I can beat the markets. And I mean, the way to keep score is obviously the money. But, everybody has their own thing. right? So I love the challenge of doing this kind of stuff. And Tim loves, you know, running the Fakeologist, and there's, you know, nothing wrong with that. I think that's a great thing, you know, a great value in of itself as well. That's why people tune into your show, right? They want to talk about these things. They're interested in these things. There's a niche for these type of things. So I'm glad you're doing what you're doing.
Not going to make any money, but I'll tell you one thing, just meeting people like you, if I can make a few bucks on a trade, it'll all have been worth it.
It'll be pretty good. Well, there you go. So you guys got the Bitcoin play.
Yeah.
Nothing's gonna change. We've talked about gold. We've talked about the foreign currency market is a disaster, as you guys know. Every currency sucks. The only thing that's good for the U.S. currency, it's the least dirtiest piece of clothing in the hamper.
What about the ruble, though? That's a shining blouse, isn't it? That's a shining.
Yeah, for now. Yeah, I mean,
but you can't get your hands on it, can you? I guess you can.
Ruble. Hey, but I could trade
the average person cannot get a ruble. Illegal or something?
Yeah. I mean, it's. I mean, the Russian ruble will do. It'll be fine. I mean, they have a lot of oil, so they'll be fine. Obviously, they want to sell a lot of their oil in, you know, rubles, and I think they're even cutting off some of the European countries off oil as well. But whatever political situation is going on there, but to me, like again, it's a movie. It's a movie set, and this movie set has a lot of actors. And you gotta understand why these actors are there telling you what they're telling you publicly, and then you know, extracting that information, and then really seeing what the real, you know, nature of what they're telling you, you know, trying to decipher what's going on, and that can be difficult sometimes. So, but those are things I enjoy doing. But yeah, the U.S. dollar is definitely going to go up. It is already going up compared to the it's.
I thought it was going to be trashed.
Let me rephrase this so everyone can understand. Relatively speaking, yes, it's going to go up against all the other shitty currency pairs. However, the absolute value of the U.S. currency, as you guys are seeing, is going down because of hyperinflation is going to kill it. But compared to the other currencies, so if you're an American and you want to come to Canada and visit Canada, if they let you in, if you're not vaccinated, then you can use your high value U.S. dollar against our Canadian shitty currency.
Right, but Americans been able to do that for the last 50 years, for God's sakes.
Oh, yeah, and it's going to get better. But what I'm saying is over the next 6 months to 2 years, so right now it's at, what, $1.28, $1.29 right now?
Yeah.
It's just going to get better.
They still aren't going to come. They don't have any interest in Canada. You know why? Because they're not exposed to our media, so they don't even barely know we're here. Even the people in the backwater of Buffalo, they know we're here, but they don't really think it through, the whole exchange. None of that attracts them. I don't know what it is, but they just don't.
They seem to like Toronto. They think we live in igloos, though.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Okay, well, you've been going about an hour, so I promoted my forums. You've done your trade, so the forums are up. You know, I want to tell everyone, when you're using the forums, this little button on the top here is called notifications. Really good way to navigate. You can see all kinds of things. They're your personal notifications. So if someone replies to something that you're following, it's all there. It's really fantastic. And then again, let me just remind you, when you're looking at the forums, if one of the icons is black and white, that means you've read everything there. So for instance, it's in color here, so that means I haven't read all the introductions. You click on here and you look for the colored forum, and that's one you have not read. Once you read it, you look at it, and you go back, and then it gets grayed out. You see how that happens? Or goes, it loses its red or colorful color. So that's how you use the forums. Don't forget, we got the main blog, fakeologist.com/blog. I talk about all kinds of media fakery stuff and different websites. Like this is a pretty interesting post on plastic words and the trickology of tyranny. Trickology, I've never heard that one before. I think he's maybe referring to fakeology. That's his own term, trickology. What else we got? We got More App, where I talk about non-fakeologist stuff like electric trucks, which apparently they lose half their power if they try and tow a trailer. So they're a long ways away from being useful, honestly. No fleet is going to buy an electric truck. They're just toys at this point. But no, you know, half the people that buy trucks are using them for business or farming, and you're not going to stay all day trying to charge it up when you can just go to the get some diesel and put it in and buy. You know, they're just toys. And Scotty here, he's a really interesting YouTuber. I really enjoy him, mechanic, but mainly he's a YouTuber now. Okay, this was a pretty good video from Harry Vox, who's a kind of kooky guy from New York City. He was just showing how Pfizer has bought off the New York City police. Don't expect them to arrest any Pfizer people anytime soon. So that was kind of funny. And what else we got? Okay, so this is Tiago's site. I will not be silent anymore, Canada. And judging by the number of members, your membership's going crazy. And so that indicates to you and to me that there are real people getting really hurt by this vaccine. Yes. So I hate to see that your membership's going up, because that means probably people are looking for answers because they really are suffering, which sucks. Mm-hmm. So that I guess that unless they're all bots, that's kind of proof that there really is something going on out there. And you and I
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to do that big show on Sunday.
We're going to test it out. We're going to see if any of these 8,000 people or so want to talk on a phone. And so we're going to, Tiago's going to promote it. We're going to see if we can get anyone to call in. We got a whole bank of phone lines ready to go. And maybe we'll, you know, I'm kind of thinking in 2022, people don't like to use the phone anymore. They don't like to talk, but they like to type, which is fine. But if anyone wants to talk, we're going to promote that on Sunday and see what happens. And we're going to see how interactive the people are on his forum. So I think it's an important topic. I think it's something really happening. But we're going to hear some stories, because I tend to think a lot of the stories that you post here, and you told me that you preview a lot of these stories and only post them if they're on Google, which means they're authorized. They're allowable stories.
Yes.
But because I don't trust the media, I'm worried that half these stories are fake. And of course, you have to say, well, why would they put out stories about all these young people dying? And I say it's just because they're trying to normalize this as and manage the situation somehow, some way.
Yeah.
But it's complicated, and PSYOPs are not easy to understand. So this is a tough one. I'm struggling with this one. So why would a congressman... do you think his daughter really took the injection? Because you'd think some of these people, they got to be in the know to some extent. And if the guy at the top doesn't call them, then they people talk. You know, traders mm-hmm. trade with each other and talk to each other. The congressmen, you know, they talk to each other, so they're not going to subject their own families to this kind of stuff. So I'm very suspicious of all these major stories. Maybe they're trying to get it across that, oh, even important people, their children are getting hurt or died. So when it really happens to poor people that don't know any better, they don't feel as bad. But I'm really suspicious of all these major stories. I really am. Founder of a popular burger chain.
Yeah, all I can say to that is that.
Come on, really?
Yeah, All I can say to that is I do get daily messages from people, private people, regular people here in Canada, messaging me that their family members just had a heart attack, died, or, you know, whatever the situation is with the vaccine. So a lot of the times the stuff that they send me, I can't post because it'll get flagged and the group will get taken down, sort of thing. But Tim might be right. A lot of these stories might be fake news to normalize psychologically the situation in the world. So, yeah. And that's why maybe they're installing defibrillators in schools.
This picture here, this one definitely looks like a really bad paste job. This one here.
Oh, yeah.
it really does. Just look at the lines here. It just looks, it's a very straight line here. See the baby's body against the person?
Yeah.
that doesn't look right. It looks like a very bad cut. Actually, this top part of the baby's doesn't look like it even belongs there. Look at the big Look at this, how it sticks out, 90-degree angle in the child's chest. I don't think so. You see what I'm saying about really bad cut and paste?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm really, really leery. But maybe some people really are getting sick, and they just don't want all these people that are getting sick to think that, oh, well, it's just them. But I don't know. It's hard to figure out. It really is.
I think some of the, are definitely getting hurt. And I'm sure you might have trickery, fakery kind of stories out there as well. I think that does exist as well. And it's difficult deciphering which one's real, which one's not, unless you're actually there in the person's hometown. But, we'll give it a go on Sunday and, we'll see what happens.
All right. And you're back on Thursday for the Marcus Roundtable. You'll be back then. And tomorrow, so if anyone wants to see the show schedule, fakeologist.com/live. Tomorrow, I'm getting John Manley back, who Unreal thinks is a CIA agent. I'm not quite as suspicious as most people, but he's going to have his son, I think, play some music or something about COVID. So that should be interesting. And we'll probably talk about his book a little bit more. I know it's a quick return visit, but I wanted to talk to his son, who is apparently a bit of a fakeologist. So it's always fun to talk to young people about all that. But Diego, thanks for the tips. Good show. It was a fast-moving show. We had a lot of viewers tonight. I don't know where all these guys' viewers are coming from. Maybe they're all your fans. I'm not sure.
I have no idea. I didn't say anything to anybody in my group that I was doing the show tonight. So I'm glad you're getting much more viewership. And if they're interested in what I have to say, which most times is pretty boring anyway, financial stuff, I'm glad that they're listening, and I appreciate that they're listening.
Yeah. So we got, maybe there are a lot. Maybe FakeoTube was not working right. I don't know. A lot of people on YouTube tonight, and I'm going to make sure I delete the video so I don't get flagged. Maybe they're Sanity for Sweden guys. I'm not sure. That guy's huge, and he's always fun to talk to as well. So thanks a lot for joining, Diego, and we will see you in 2 days. Very regular appearances. Thanks for the
absolutely
info.
All right, guys, thank you everyone, and I appreciate it. Have a good night.
Take care. There goes Diego, and there goes me. I'm going to sign off right now. If I can get under this. Don't forget, fakeologist.com/donate.